This past Wednesday, at our vestry meeting, we did Bible study as we usually do, and our study this particular week prompted a discussion about how to respond when people on the street ask us for money. I'm sure you have noticed how at intersections of our neighborhood it's common to encounter people, sometimes holding handwritten signs that say, "Help, homeless, give anything, anything helps." Several vestry members, several of us, admitted that we struggle sometimes with how to respond in those situations. I know I often find those challenging. Approaching the intersection, I can hear the voice of Jesus, not literally, but in my head. I can hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Give to everyone who asks of you." Sometimes practically, I just worry about stopping my car in the intersection when the light is green. But I'm also not proud of the fact that if I approach an intersection and no one is standing there, I'm relieved. Nor am I proud of the impulse I sometimes have, like all of us, to drive past someone who's asking for help without looking at them, without acknowledging them. We also at Vestry talked about the challenge we have of responding with compassion and respect to homeless folks, particularly who have lived in our yard over the course of this summer. You know, we might be tempted sometimes to look the other way, to ignore someone in front of us, but it's really hard to do that when they're in front of the door or when they're out here on the lawn. One vestry member asked whether maybe we should think about doing more as a parish for those who do not have food or shelter or sanitary products and are right here in our midst. It's a question we will continue to discuss and to discern. As a society, we often try to render invisible those in need. In the past, cities have passed laws forbidding someone from asking for help on city streets. Bus stops are moved so homeless people are not visible in the center of a city, such as RIPTA's plan for Kennedy Plaza. Many comfortable middle-class people walk by those seeking help without so much as glancing at them. I know the times when I haven't ignored someone, but actually stopped and spoken with them, either standing on a street corner or someone here in our yard. One of the things I often hear is an expression of gratitude that I saw the individual, that I acknowledged them, that I took time to talk. With so many in need rendered invisible by others, there can be deep gratitude when someone sees another person, acknowledges them as a person. Now the problems, and you've probably been reading the paper about this, the problems confronting our city and our state, particularly around homelessness, are huge. They're huge economic problems. We have so many people right now who do not have a home. We may not be able to take on, especially in the short term, that large problem. But what we can do is we can acknowledge the presence of others, treating others as people, looking at them with eyes of compassion. For like Jesus, we are called to see all as beloved children of God. And Jesus stands ready to help open our eyes, to heal us from any blindness that privilege causes. And in addition to seeing, we can also share from our abundance, helping with the resources that God has entrusted to us, giving from our abundance so that others in need have what they need. Now, this reality of not seeing people in need is not something new. It's not something that afflicts us only in this age. In today's gospel, we have a kind of ageless story of a poor man who is rendered invisible by others. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, who is blind, sits by the roadside. The world passes him by as he begs for alms. And to lots of people, he is invisible, of no particular concern. I wonder how many walk by him, just ignoring him, or walk by him wishing he would just be quiet and go away. When Bartimaeus hears Jesus approaching, he shouts, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowds respond by sternly, Mark tells us, sternly telling him to be quiet. They don't want him drawing attention to himself. They don't want a scene. He shouldn't be bothering Jesus. Instead, they want him to remain at the margins, invisible. Even the disciples of Jesus, who have just heard Jesus teaching to welcome the least, the marginalized, are not recorded as speaking up in his defense. But the more the crowd tries to silence Bartimaeus, the louder he cries out. Unlike the crowd, Bartimaeus is not ignored by Jesus. Jesus hears the cry and calls for him. And so Bartimaeus springs up with enthusiasm and goes to Jesus. Bartimaeus has strong faith. He believes that Jesus will have mercy on him. He believes that Jesus can restore him to health and to belonging in the community. Coming to Jesus, Bartimaeus casts off his cloak. This is probably his only possession. He gives that up, what he needs to keep warm as he sits by the road. He gives that up, giving up everything he has to come to Jesus. Jesus responds by asking Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" I don't know about you, but this seems an odd question to me. It seems self-evident. Jesus can see Bartimaeus is blind. Jesus knows he's on the roadside begging for alms. I wonder why Jesus doesn't simply heal his blindness, get him some food. That may be because Jesus is actually offering Bartimaeus something really important in asking this question. Jesus is recognizing the full humanity and personhood of Bartimaeus. To Jesus, this man is not someone to be labeled a beggar. He's not simply a man who cannot see. He is not invisible. To Jesus, Bartimaeus is a person. Jesus sees Bartimaeus as fully human and invites Bartimaeus to express his heart's desire. Jesus is respecting Bartimaeus by listening to him. And in answer to Jesus' question, Bartimaeus replies, he wants his sight restored. And Jesus heals him and says, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately, Mark tells us, Bartimaeus is healed. And then becomes the only person in this gospel who, after being healed, follows Jesus on the way. Now, we can look at this story and see in it a passage about healing, about restoration of physical sight, and that's certainly true. A blind man comes to Jesus, asks to see again, and Jesus heals him. But there's more to this story, and there's a particular way that Mark is using this story. This section of Mark's gospel opens. It's framed by two healings, each of a person who's blind. It opens with an account of a blind man being healed, and then it ends with this story of Bartimaeus. And in between these two healing miracles, Jesus is predicting his death and resurrection in Jerusalem, something his disciples keep failing to understand. They fail to see who Jesus is. They fail to see his mission. In their blindness, the disciples do not see Jesus as he is. When Jesus predicts his impending passion the first time, Peter says, "Lord, forbid it." When Jesus predicts his passion the third and final time, as we heard last week, James and John ask if they can have seats in glory, one at the right and one at the left. When Jesus teaches that following him means welcoming the least, the disciples want to stop people from bringing children to Jesus to bless. When Jesus says that in his kingdom, the first will be last and the last first, and the greatest of all will be servant of all, Bartimaeus is told, "Keep quiet, don't bother Jesus." The disciples in this part of Mark who have physical sight fail to see who Jesus is. They don't understand his mission. They don't grasp his call to discipleship. Though Bartimaeus does not have physical sight, he's the one who sees Jesus. Bartimaeus understands what Jesus is doing. He has faith in the power of Jesus to restore all things according to God's love and justice. Because Bartimaeus, the man literally blind, is able to see who Jesus is and the promise that he brings. It is through that blind man Bartimaeus that we glimpse God's intention for the whole of creation. Through a man shunned and silenced by the crowd, the power of God's love to restore and heal is revealed. This image of the restoration of all of creation, of the promise of God's love in the midst of despair and hopelessness, we hear echoed in our first lesson today from the prophet Jeremiah. To the people in exile, Jeremiah offers words of consolation and of hope. Jeremiah proclaims, "Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations." Jeremiah tells the people that God will gather from all places of exile, gather all the people, and bring them home. God will restore the people. Jeremiah says, "See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together. A great company, they shall return here." And in that return journey home, they'll travel by brooks of water to quench their thirst. Their path will be straight and easy to walk. Their weeping will be consoled by God. We hear this echoed in our psalm today. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. All the exiles will be restored. All people brought to wholeness. Through the faith of Bartimaeus, God's promise of wholeness and restoration is revealed, and God's intention for creation is expressed. A man invisible to those around him is important in revealing the promise of God. A man unable to see the world around him can yet see the truth of God's reign manifest in Jesus and in his ministry. Like the disciples, Jesus invites us to allow him to open our eyes so that we can see the world with God's vision, that we can glimpse God's promise of a world restored, a world where no one is invisible, no one is silenced, a world where all are welcomed, all are valued, all are loved. And so Jesus calls us to him. And Jesus asks us what we want him to do for us. May we respond like Bartimaeus by springing up, using every fiber of our energy and our will to come to Jesus. Let us ask Jesus to open our eyes and to open our hearts, that we see as he sees, that we love as he loves. May we see every person and all of creation through the eyes of God's love. Now the disciples grow and change. After Jesus is raised from the dead, his disciples at last see him as he is. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit poured out of the day of Pentecost, that they are able to go into the world proclaiming the risen Jesus, doing the work that Jesus did, giving all of their lives over to following Jesus. Like Jesus, they heal the sick, they preach hope to the despairing and the marginalized, and they raise the dead. And many are martyred for their witness. Through the power of that same Spirit, may we see with resurrection eyes. May the privilege that blinds our sight fall from our eyes. May we who follow Jesus do so with the strength of God's Spirit poured out on Pentecost. May we give our lives over to following Jesus and always stand in solidarity with those who are silenced, invisible, voiceless, and marginalized. Through our witness to God's love, may God's justice reign and all people be welcomed, loved, and valued. So today, Jesus calls us to himself, calls you and calls me, and he looks into our eyes with love, and he asks each of us, "What do you want me to do for you?" How will you answer? Amen.